That's right, folks. Another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco, here to talk about some AFC West players with the most to gain or lose from the NFL draft. We are officially 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, less than 2 weeks away, about 10 days away from the NFL draft. On our episodes the last few weeks, we've been talking about current NFL players with the most to gain or lose based on what their team does in the NFL draft. And today we're wrapping up the series with the AFC West. Before we do, we want to make sure you follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And of course, make sure you jump over to Razzball.com, folks. We're doing some great content, not only on the football side, but baseball, hockey, and basketball. So make sure you jump over to Razzball.com and check out all the great content you need to win your fantasy leagues. And now, finally, let's get into it, folks. The AFC West, five players with the most to gain or lose from the NFL draft, starting right now. That's right, folks. It's Gladys L. Tyler. You can follow her at Gladys L. Tyler on Twitter. What's going on, Gladys?
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
You know, you're so nice. You have this nice... I'm coming to you like, Gladys, what's up? And you're like, hello, Bobby. Good to see you today. That is why we make such a good duo on this show, because we just balance each other out. And that's why I love you. Calm me down. Now I feel that peace and calm heading into the top five players. Gladys, so tell us, what's going on? Anything new and exciting going on before we jump into our top five?
No, it's been a shit day. But Cleveland is beating the Knicks, so yes. It's not that much of a shit day. It's pretty good.
I got to tell you, I love NBA basketball. I like the playoffs. But the one thing I will say is the NBA TV thing. What are we doing here? The Celtics-Hawks game? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't even watch that game. Are you kidding me for the playoffs? You know what? I told Gladys before the show started that today is going to be a negative day, and I'm excited. So I'm bringing a lot of heat today. So we're going to talk about some five players from the AFC West that have the most to gain or lose from the NFL drafts. Me and Gladys put together a list that we think are going to be hugely impacted by what happens with their teams in the NFL draft. Let's jump into it. At number five, we got the new Las Vegas Raider quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. Gladys, tell us why you think he has the most to gain or lose from the NFL draft.
I'm going lost. My whole list is lost. My whole list is loose. And Jimmy G, because the Raiders have the seventh pick, currently have the seventh pick. There's rumors that they're trying to get Arizona's third pick. Three teams above the seventh pick need quarterbacks. There are particularly five quarterbacks that are supposed to go in the first round. So it is highly probable that the Raiders will pick a quarterback in the first round, which means Jimmy G will be right back where he started when he was in San Francisco, sitting behind a rookie quarterback, depending on who it is. And if not for this year, then next year, he has the most to lose. Boom, I'm done.
I love that. I told Gladys this is going to be a quick one, folks. Well, just so for Jimmy G, two games when he played with Josh McDaniels back in 2016, completed 72% of his passes and 69% of his passes. Four combined touchdowns in those two games, and on average, just over 250 yards. So not too bad, Jimmy G, in that Patriots offense. Let's jump down to number four. Isaiah Pacheco is the guy I want to talk about here. And so obviously there's still – I don't even think the NFL draft necessarily could be the thing that really hits, you know, his that value. Jerick McKinnon's still a free agent. No one's picked him up yet. It seems like McKinnon will probably be back at some point. But right now today, it's essentially him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There's been rumors about Hilaire being a potential trade target in that day two, day three area for other teams. Maybe that happens as well. But Pacheco, when you look at Pacheco, it's just getting to a point now where the way he ran, how hard he ran, how good as a runner, just using the eye test, how good he looked. But you got to remember, this kid was a seventh round pick. So anything could happen year over year. If the Chiefs, if a running back falls to them, they could easily take them in day two. And that really will hurt his value. But if you just look at him heading, if he comes out of this unscathed, if they trade Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and essentially if they only bring back Jerick McKinnon, there's a lot to like. First off, the offensive line, they were the sixth in PFF's run blocking grades last year. They did lose both tackles, but they brought in Taylor from the Jacksonville Jaguars to fill one of those spots. And they also have a third round pick from a few years ago. So some shakeup on the line, but not too bad. The competition really for touches in the backfield right now is not scary. And it kind of shows what they did with Pacheco down the stretch last year's weeks 10 through the playoffs. So 12 games over the second half of last year, he averaged 14.9 touches, 84 combined yards, had five touchdowns over that span, averaged 12.3 PPR points per game. However, in 11 of the 12 games, he had double digit fantasy points. In 7 of the 12 games, he had at least 12 fantasy points, which is legit RB2 production. over that stretch, he was the RB24. So currently today he's going at 73rd overall, RB25. So right in that area. So I do think Pacheco has a lot to gain if the Chiefs don't go out and get a day two pick on a running back. Let's jump down to number three. It's Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. Talk to us why Russ has the most to gain or lose from the NFL draft.
Okay, first I want to say that my analysis are never quite as in-depth as yours. I'm not sure why. Well,
there's nothing wrong with that, honestly, because I'm a whack job. Okay, trust me.
No,
I'm looking up college stats, and I'm like, all right, what did this OC do in college? It's hard for the best.
I'm just saying it's different. So I want to just say that Wilson dumping his golf cart is a metaphor for the season and for Russell Wilson. With Sean Payton in the building now, Sean Payton, it's not necessarily the draft that I think is going to be causing Wilson to be a loser, because Broncos, because of the Russell Wilson trade, don't have a pick until like the third round. I think it's the pickup of Jarrett Stidham and free agency. I think it's Sean Payton already telling Wilson that he is not going to put up with his shenanigans, that there will be no personal coach allowed in the building. There will be no personal office allowed in the premises. I just think that this is a year that Sean Payton would not mind flexing. And I think his flex will be on Russell Wilson. He will allow him two or three games, and then he will say, hey, you are not the Russell Wilson that they paid a gazillion dollars for and draft picks, so I'm going to have to sit you on the bench. I expect to see Russell Wilson sit a few games this season, and it is because of the amount of money they paid to get Sean Payton into the head coach seat.
You know, I almost feel a little different about it. I think that Russ, this is the moment of his career where, are you truly a team player? Because you will buy into the system with Sean Payton. He's a proven winner. So there's no excuse that your head coach is inexperienced. It's Sean freaking Payton. Plus, they made some decent moves. They got two really good offensive linemen. They get Garrett Bowles, their left tackle, back too. So their offensive line should be a lot better. And Tim Patrick should be back. So you have three really good receivers, a young guy in Greg Dulcich at tight end. I think there's a lot to like about this situation, but you're right. If he gets benched this season, it's over for Russ. Because honestly, if you can't make it work with that talent and that coach, no thank you. All right, let's jump down to number two, the Chiefs wide receivers. Now, this one is I got to tell you, the more I went down the rabbit hole, I kind of realized that like I kind of like everybody, which is not good. I was hoping not to have this feeling. I think the clubhouse favorite is Kadarius Toney. Obviously, we know that Mecole Hardman and Juju are now gone. The Chiefs have vacated the fourth most targets in the NFL and 52 red zone targets, one of the tops in the NFL as well. But 223 vacated targets. Now, if you look at the receiver depth, you have MVS, who's the most productive guy coming back, 81 targets, 42, 687, and two receiving line. But when you start looking at the other guys, it's all this upside. It's all talent. It's all size and speed. It's all these great things that these guys have. But MVS, I'll tell you this, 90th percentile, 40-yard dash, and speed score coming out of college, really good in his own right. So he's a name to watch. But the big one's Kadarius Toney. Last year, 2.06 yards per route run. Was really good on the Chiefs. Was only behind Travis Kelce in that sense. It's a former first-round pick. The next one would be Sky Moore, who's a second-round pick, 90th percentile college dominator, target share, and 40-yard dash. So this guy's a freak athlete as well. But there's some deeper names that I really like. If you look at guys – and by the way, Sky Moore has not proven anything yet. So Kadarius Toney has not proven that he can stay healthy yet. So guys to watch, Justin Watson, last year over the second half of the year, was wide receiver three in routes over the second half of the season. He had ridiculous 90th percentile scores in college dominator and catch radius, also in the high 80s in burst and speed. So this guy is no joke either as well. Then you got Justin Ross, who had the serious spinal injury out of Clemson, was undrafted. Basically, he broke his foot last year, so he is coming off an injury, but he's 6'4", 210, 90th fourth percentile breakout age, had 112 receptions, 1,865 yards, and 17 touchdowns his first two seasons at Clemson. So this guy was a big, big-time player, and he's already getting praise from Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes for his offseason work this year. He's a deep name to monitor. And believe it or not, Gladys, if I asked you heading into this podcast, who on the current wide receivers of the Chiefs, who had the most PPR points per game last year, who would you guess?
Wide receivers.
Currently on the roster.
Oh, currently on the roster?
Yeah.
Watson?
Richie James. Richie James, by the way, folks, who averaged 9.2 PPR points per game for the Giants last year, was the most productive wide receiver on the Chiefs based on those stats. That is insanity, but he's a deeper name to monitor. Sometimes you just want a guy to run the right routes and make the right plays, and Richie James could be that guy, so just be a watch out there. Kadarius Toney has the highest ADP at wide receiver 41, but all these guys are extremely affordable, so I'll be watching this very closely to see if the Chiefs invest in the wide receiver position, and if they don't, who starts off the year with the ones. Let's jump down to number one, Austin Eckler. Gladys, tell us why Austin Eckler should be the number one guy to watch heading into the NFL draft in the AFC West.
Okay, Austin Eckler is a fantasy football god. Like, he loves fantasy football. He tells us who to play on fantasy football, and he was the number one fantasy football running back last year. Austin Eckler also isn't very happy being underpaid, which he is. He's making less than, like, there's a list of running backs, and it was really bad, that he's making less money, and the Chargers don't want to pay him. And the Chargers have the pick where I think they are going to pick up Jahmyr Gibbs as their first round pick, and which means that Eckler becomes expendable, both for fantasy-wise and for the Chargers-wise. I think they will play – they'll do the Bill Belichick thing where you just play the hell out of him because you know that he's not going to be here next year. So I think that's what the Chargers are going to do with Eckler this year, because he couldn't find anyone to trade or trade partner with, which is really something weird going on. Like, he can't find anyone to trade to pick him up. Lamar can't find anyone to trade to pick him up. I don't know what's happening in the NFL, like, where all these players can't find someone that wants them, or if they're holding out for the draft, the teams are holding out for the draft. But with the 21st pick, look for who the Chargers pick up. If they pick up Gibbs, I think it means Eckler has seen. I would still pick Eckler fantasy one or two, but I think he has the most to lose as far as a long-term dynasty value, depending on where he goes.
But well, first off, Gladys, just want to tell you, you got a fan. What
up, Jamie?
Jamie's shouting you out a little bit. Hey, girl. Like it. Yeah, talking a little Justin Ross as well with that. He's got some bone disease. You know, we have some really freaking smart followers. Jamie, and we also have this guy, Mr. Scampers.
The cat. Yeah.
The cat guy. He just drops random nuggets all the time. I'm like, dang, good for us. Huh?
Yeah.
I feel smart. Gladys feels smart. Our followers are smart.
I am smart by association. I am smart because I know Jamie, and because I know Mr. Scampers, and because I know you. That is why I'm smart. It just, like, radiates.
The feeling is mutual. Anyway, any final thoughts about Eckler?
I say draft Eckler this year. If you're a dynasty player, I would be a little leery, but I say draft him this year for redraft for sure, because the Chargers are going to just run him into the ground.
So this is the thing. Like, he's going to be 28 when the season starts. And you know what? If I'm the Chargers, I don't want to sign him long-term either. I mean, outside of, like, Adrian Peterson, there's not been a lot of success.
Ageism.
You know what I mean? I know. Oh, geez. I'm going to get canceled. Well, that's it, folks. That's the last of the Rasball Fantasy Football Podcast. But anyway, Kellen Moore comes in. And if you look at his success with running backs, every single season they had a top 10 running back for fantasy football from 2018 to 2022. And they had a back-to-back. It was 5-3, 9-7, and 9. So this is a very successful offense. He utilizes them a little bit in the passing game. We just saw Tony Pollard have a very nice season. They're going to return all 5 offensive line stars, and Rashawn Slater should be back. So you got to love it for Eckler. But it's just like, he's 28. Not paying a running back going to be 29 next year. Makes a ton of sense. So they're making the right decision here. But that's it, folks. That's basically our top 5 AFC West players with the most to gain or lose from the NFL draft. Before you leave us, leave a comment. Let us know your thoughts. Did we miss anybody? Keegan Allen, you know, Gerald Everett, those kind of players. Leave a comment. Let us know who you think will have the biggest impact from what happens in the NFL draft. Also, make sure you jump over to Razzball.com. Go follow us. We're doing baseball, basketball, hockey, and more. And, of course, make sure you follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. And finally, Gladys, tell the people where they can find your content. What's up next for you?
Okay, so soon, like this week, I should have an article coming out on Razzball about the NFC East defense and defensive coordinators. I will have an article on Going for Two about the AFC West, maybe offense and offensive coordinators. But as everyone knows, it's coming into draft, and draft for me is like Christmas Day. So there will be Monday talking about the quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks in the draft. And then on draft day, I will be talking about draft stuff on two different podcasts, which I don't know what time I'm supposed to be on, so I can't tell you. And then on
okay.
I can't convert time, people. Give me mountain time. Quit putting time in West in East Coast time. I think that's like a bias that I can't get over right now. So I'll figure it out. I'll be there. And then Friday, I will be with the Going for Two Monday crew people plus Izzy talking about the draft. I love the draft. I love the draft more than anything. I don't know why. I just do. I think it's great that these kids that have spent their whole entire lives trying to get there finally get there. And it makes me cry sometimes. It makes me happy.
Love it. Love it. And you know what, Gladys? Jamie loves you. I love you.
I love you, Jamie.
Yes. And make sure you, by the way, check us out. On Friday after the draft, we're hosting a Razzball Bonanza podcast. Where we're going to cover the second round of the draft plus talk.
I wasn't invited, you guys. So yes. I just want you to know.
I've invited everybody. I've invited everybody. And you, how dare you? How dare you? I invite everyone all the time. You know what? That's it. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. I'm done. We are out of here. Razzball.